Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter 11. As you're turning there, we want to welcome Robert and Jane Kilko. They are from Madison, Ohio, and they're missionaries to Brazil, and they're with us tonight. We're glad to have them in our presence, and we have a family in our church who spent 25 years as missionaries in Brazil, and so we're glad to have you here tonight. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, let's read that, and you can follow with me, please. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight as we gather on a Wednesday evening in the middle of the week, we take time out of our week to spend with you, come into your presence with singing, and to praise you with our lips, and to hear from your word, and Father, to give of our tithes and offerings in worship. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of calling you Father. We ask that tonight, as we look into the word of God, that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person, whether they're watching or listening or in this place. Father, open our hearts to your truth and our lives to the changes you desire to make in us to make us more like Jesus. I just pray that you'd guide now and direct, honor yourself, glorify your son, edify your people, save the lost, and we'll certainly thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, this is a very familiar verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's the Bible's definition of faith. Faith itself is an invisible thing, just like love. Faith and love can only be known by others by our actions. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And so James is careful to say, you can't show me your faith without your work. I can't see faith. It's an invisible thing. But you can see my faith. You can feel the effect of my faith in my works. It's like the wind blows on the trees. You can't see the wind, but you can see the work of the wind. The word in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 for substance is an interesting word. It's the word hypostasis. It means substance. It means assurance. It means confidence. And here's a very interesting meaning of the word. It means person. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Amen. It means person. The Bible, speaking of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 1, 3, says this, "Who, Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of His," that's the Father's glory, "and the express image of His hypostasis," of His person, "and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And so faith itself is invisible. I can't see your faith. I can only see the evidence of your faith and the substance of your faith in your works. Now, faith has no corporal substance to it. I can only see that your faith is substantial by the works it produces in your life. God, in His essence, is invisible. Paul establishes that in 1 Timothy 1:17, where he says, "Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." However, the invisible God was made visible in Christ. And so He was the express image of the person of God. In Colossians 1:15, Paul declares that Christ is the image of the invisible God. And just as men could only see God in the Lord Jesus Christ, men can only see your faith by the work of Christ in and through you. Just as Christ was the express image of His, that's God's person, our works are the express image of our person of faith. You see, before I was saved, I was a person. I got saved. Now I'm a person of what? Of faith. And so my faith then, the works of my faith is the express image of my person of faith. I'm a new person over here than I was over there. As born-again Christians, we are people of faith. We are those who see without eyes and hear without ears. That is, we see that which cannot be seen, but only by faith. And we hear that things that cannot be heard, but only by faith. When I read the Word of God, I hear God speak to me by faith. Amen. When I read the Word of God, I see things by faith that I couldn't see without faith. All of Hebrews chapter 11 is dedicated to those who saw the invisible and heard the inaudible. You ever hear anybody say, well, God spoke to me? Well, we know that God doesn't have a certain signature voice. We all have our signature voices, and we usually hate to hear our own voice, right? But God doesn't have a singular signature voice, so to speak. Usually when a person hears God speak to their heart, it's usually in their own voice. But God does speak to us through His Word, does He not? He speaks to us through His Spirit, does He not? And we hear that with the ears of faith. It's an incredible thing. Faith is to be the lifestyle of the Christian. Three times in the New Testament, it says the just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When I was over here as an unsaved person, I walked by sight. Now I am a born-again Christian. I am a child of God. I'm supposed to walk by faith. What is faith concerned with? Faith is concerned with the unseen. What was I concerned with over here as an unsaved person? I'm only concerned with what I can see, what I can hear, what I can taste, what I can touch. I get over here, I'm born again. Now all of a sudden this whole world of the unseen opens up. Isn't that an incredible thing? Amen. Faith should be our lifestyle. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Bible says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now this trio is also found in 1 Thessalonians 1:3 and 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And there it's faith, hope, love. Now I went to a church one time and the pastor spent the whole message going into great detail how to try to prove that charity and love were not the same thing. But all you have to do is look at the word from which charity is translated. It's agape. And the word, what love is translated from in 1 Thessalonians, it's agape. It's the same Greek word. It's the same word, just two different ways of saying it. And all three of these, faith, hope, and love, are all invisible in their essence. But they're made visible by their works. And so let's look at them tonight. Number one, let's look at faith. Go with me to John chapter 20. We're going to look at faith tonight. John chapter 20, and we're looking at faith as related to the unseen. John chapter 20, look at verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. I like that. That's one of my favorite things. He just stood in the midst of them, didn't have to come through the door, amen?
Amen.
And said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. How did he you notice how he said your finger and your hand? That's exactly what Thomas said. And Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said it. You know, see how incredible he is? And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have, what? Not seen, and yet have believed. This is that incident when the Lord confronts the doubt of his disciple Thomas. And worthy of note is verse 28, where Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my what? He wasn't careful to say, my Lord and the Son of God. Which would have been accurate and true. But he said, my Lord and my God. This is when Thomas comes to the complete realization of the deity of Jesus Christ. The Lord had claimed deity throughout his ministry. But this is the official declaration of that deity. I've heard people say, well, the Bible doesn't say Jesus is God. It just said it right there. But what the Lord says in verse 29 is what we want to look at tonight. Look what he says. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas believed because he saw. That is not faith. That's sight. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. So Thomas was not exercising faith. The they of blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed is us. That's us. We believe by faith when we believe that which is not seen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, those famous verses, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we're saved through faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Our believing in the truth of the Word of God and receiving Christ as our Savior without having seen Him is the evidence of faith. I've not seen with my physical eyes the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe that He is. And I believe He is who He says He is. I've not seen the cross, but I believe He died there for me. I've not seen the grave clothes at the empty tomb, but I believe He rose from the dead. I have not seen the eternal lake of fire, but I believe it exists and that I am saved from it. I have not seen heaven, but I believe that it is where I will spend eternity. I've not seen the mansion that Jesus says He's preparing for me, but I believe He is. I have not seen the inheritance that awaits me, but I believe it's there. I have not seen the judgment seat of Christ, but I believe I will appear there. Need I go on? And I'm blessed because I have not seen and yet believe. Anybody can believe if they see. But the people who are blessed, the people who are happy, the people who are full of joy, are those who have not seen and yet believe. You and I, beloved, we believe and we have not seen. What an evidence, this assurance, this confidence, this deep down in the heart knowledge that is the result of not seeing. What a blessing that is, isn't it? Number two, let's look at love. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. And I want you to look with me at verse 7. And so that we see that we are blessed because our faith, we believe, yet we have not seen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having what? Not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing. There's the faith, see? So we have faith and love in this one verse. You see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter mentions the second coming of Christ in verse 7. Then he mentions in verse 8 something about the blessedness of faith without seeing. And he says here that we have a rejoicing with joy unspeakable. You read that? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a joy in believing in the unseen that only those who do can understand. I'm going to say that again. There's a joy in believing in the unseen that only those who do can understand. Peter calls it a glory in verse 8. And full of glory. The word glory is doxazo. It means glory. It means honor. It means magnify. So here's what Peter's saying here. He's saying this joy we have that is part of our believing without seeing brings glory to God. It honors Him and magnifies Him. Our joy and our rejoicing and joy unspeakable is full of glory for God. That glorifies Him. Because we believe and have not seen. Because that we rejoice in something we've never seen, that glorifies God. Why? Because in order to do that, we have to believe God. And we've never seen God. But now we come to this word love in verse 8. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. How do you love someone whom you have not seen nor spoken to? Face to face. Someone might say, well, you know, I just love puppies. Well, why do you love puppies? I'll tell you why you love puppies. Because you've seen puppies. Because you've held puppies. Someone may say, I love children. Well, why do they love children? Because they've seen children. And because they've held children. And they've touched children. It is impossible to love something you have never seen. Think about it for a minute. If I said, do you love puppies? And you have never seen a puppy. You've never seen a picture of a puppy. You've never seen a live puppy. You never held a puppy. You never heard a puppy. What would you know about puppies? You'd know nothing about puppies. How can you love something you've never seen, you've never touched, you've never had any experience with? If you say, I love Martians, really? You can't love Martians. First of all, they don't exist. But if they did, and you've never seen one, you've never talked to one, you've never touched one, you've never hugged one, how could you love it? You understand what I'm saying here? We love human beings because we've seen human beings. And we know human beings. It's impossible to love something you have never seen or had any experience with visually if you're a natural man. You might be able to say, I think I would love puppies if you've never seen one. You might be able to say, I think I would love puppies if you never had one, never knew what one really was. But you couldn't say you loved them until you saw it. Till you touched it, till you held it, till you found out what it was. Then you could love it. You understand what I'm saying? However, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, whom we have never seen and we have never touched, we love Him. That's incredible. How is this possible? It's possible by the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So faith brings us into an eternal relationship with God as our Father. And He sheds His love abroad in our hearts. And now we can love Him in return with a love that is the same as His. With a supernatural love. With a divine love. The Bible doesn't say that God shed love abroad in our hearts. It doesn't say that. It said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So God's love, then, is shed abroad in our hearts so that we can love Him with the love He loves us with. Isn't that exciting? And we don't have to see Him to do that. You see, I've never seen Christ, but I love him. I've never seen Christ, but I serve him because I love him. I've never seen Christ, but I obey him because I love him. I've never seen Christ, but I have given him my body, soul, and spirit because I love him. I've never seen Christ, but I talk to him and believe the Bible is his written word because I love him. I've never seen Christ, but I endure for him because I love him. Need I go on? This is remarkable and exciting. There are things you will only do for love, isn't there? We are doers of the word because we love him. Why bother with this? Because we love him. That's why. You see, when I was over here and I wasn't saved, I believed the Bible was the word of God, but I didn't really know what that meant. And neither did you. Because if you knew what it meant, you'd have done what it said. But you didn't know what that meant, that the Bible is the word of God. We had a nebulous idea about it. But when we trusted Christ our Savior and we were born again and the Spirit of God came to dwell in us, all of a sudden we understand what that means, that this is the written word of God. Yep. And then he shed his love abroad in our hearts so that we love him in return. And we're doers of the word because we love him. You see, I think over here we're doers of the word out of fear. There are people that try to do the word. They try to do what the Bible says. And they do it because they're afraid. Or they do it out of obligation. Or they do it out of tradition. Or they do it for many different reasons. Over here, once you have Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you do it because you love him. Didn't he say, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, are they? Oh, they are to the flesh, but they're not to the spirit. One day, praise God, one day we will see him. Peter says right here at his appearing, did you read that? That our faith might be tried, and might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the what? The appearing of Jesus. Right now, we believe, but we have not seen. We love him, but we have not seen. But one day, the unseen will appear. That's exciting. One of these days. One day, the Christ we loved and have never been able to see will appear, and we will see him. John says we will see him as he is. Not as we imagine him. Not as we think he is. Not as we want him to be. We will see him as he is. You know all those pictures you see of Jesus? That's not him as he is. But we'll see him as he is. Far greater and far better and far more glorious anything we could have imagined. Our puny little concepts and conceptions of Jesus Christ will be blown away when we see him as he is. Right. Having not seen, we believe. And having not seen, we love. And my third point is hope. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that what? Love him. This is our hope, isn't it? Paul said in Romans 5:2 that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Listen, we are Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. One day, we're not only going to see the glory of God, we're going to be in the glory of God. That's our hope. And then Paul said that we are waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. One of these days, we are going to be righteous in totality. Right now, we have an imputed righteousness. Right now, we can practice a practical righteousness. But we still are sinners saved by grace. But one of these days, when we are taken away from here and we are with Him, we will finally be righteous. That's our hope. Our hope is that day when we'll never, ever have any unrighteousness as part of it. Can't you wait? I mean, we'll never sin, we'll never complain, we'll never have an evil thought. We won't even know what those things are. We will be 100% righteous. Wow. Because we will be like Him, John said. We shall be like Him. Why? For we shall see Him as He is. And Titus said in chapter 1, verse 2, that we live in hope of eternal life. And in chapter 2, verse 3, that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's another verse that's very clear that Jesus is God. We're waiting for the appearing of our God and Savior. It's not God, one person, and our Savior, the second person. It's one person, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who will appear. Remember, God is what? Invisible. So we will see God in Christ. He will appear. Amen. You know, there are two great generations that walked planet Earth. The first great generation was the generation that got to see Jesus with their human eyes. Can you imagine? They actually looked on God. If you've seen me, what did Jesus say? You've seen the Father. Remember when Philip said, show us the Father? He said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Wow! They looked on Jesus. The second great generation, I believe, is the generation that will not see death. That generation that's raptured away into the presence of the appearing Christ. Wow, that's going to be exciting, isn't it? Now, we weren't part of the first generation that saw Him with their eyes, but we may be part of that second generation that will be taken away into His presence at the rapture. The way things are going in America sure looks like it's getting closer and closer, amen? I just said to my wife today, I said, when we lose our economic power and we lose our political freedom, the world's ripe for Antichrist. And why is that so? Because of Christians. And this is my own personal opinion, but I don't think America can go where they want to take it until we're gone. Because as long as we're here, we're going to make a fuss. Right? We're in the way. And so as soon as America gets rid of all those pesky born-again Christians, you notice how there's a lot of being said about fundamental Christians. See? So as soon as they get rid of us, then they're on their way to the one world government. So I'm telling you, it's pretty exciting as you look around. I don't like to see what's going on, but I like to see what's coming on. Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that no eye hath seen and no ear has ever heard, nor has any human heart or mind ever conceived or imagined what waits for us in glory. That's what he just said right here. It's written. In other words, God's saying, you people, you just have no idea. You know, it's so glorious up here. You just don't have no clue. We don't. We can read the book of Revelation. We can read about the streets of gold. We can read about the layers of the foundation. We can read about the gates of pearl. We can read about, but you know what? We don't know. We don't even know what that means. We're just, you know? And I notice that all of this is only for those who love him. Isn't that what it said? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You can't love him if you don't know him. So this is reserved for people who have not seen but believed. This is reserved for people who have not seen but love. This is reserved for people who have not seen, but this is our hope. Even though we don't understand it, it's still our hope. Our faith in Christ brings the love of God into our hearts, and the love of God in our hearts brings a hope that is steadfast and sure, of which we will never be ashamed. Our hope is in that which is not seen. The word hope, elepis, it means confident expectation. I've never seen it, but I hope to receive an inheritance awaiting me in heaven. I've never seen it, but I hope to inhabit a mansion built for me in glory. I've never seen it, but I have a confident expectation to walk on streets of gold. I've never seen it, but I have a confident expectation to dwell in the New Jerusalem come down from heaven. I've never seen it, but I hope to receive a crown to cast at Jesus' feet. I've never seen it, but I hope to rule and reign with Christ in his kingdom. Need I go on? These are all the things we have a hope for that we've never seen. But because we have faith in him whom we have not seen, and we love him whom we have not seen, we have a hope in things we've never seen. We have a hope in things we can't even understand. But oh, boy, isn't that hope exciting? That confident expectation and assurance. These are those things which are not seen and yet are as real to us as the children of God as anything that we can see or touch or hear or smell or taste. Because it's spiritual. You see? And only we are alive spiritually and have the Spirit of God. And have become partakers of the divine nature. These are the things of faith and hope and love. The things that are not seen. I guess my time is up. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here tonight as a Christian. Genuine faith. True love. And godly hope all produce works. What can others see and hear in you that are witnesses to your faith in Christ, your love for God, and your hope of eternal life? What substance, what evidence of the unseen is found in your life? What evidence is there for your love of Christ? And what works are the result of faith, the result of your love, and the result of your hope? The Bible says when we have this hope in us, we purify ourselves. That's the work of hope. And perhaps tonight as a Christian, you might need to come and say, Dear Lord, I want to be a billboard for Jesus. I want men to see my works so that they can know my faith. And see my works and know my love. And see my works and know that my hope is in Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, that word faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Anyone who tries to work their way to heaven is wasting their time. Because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. That word love, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And hope, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says, Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a terrible place to be. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where you are right now if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you've never been born of the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What about you? Is it time you believe in whom you've never seen? Maybe tonight's your night to finally, once and for all, trust Christ to forgive your sins and save your soul. You say, preacher, I'm here tonight. I know that's my need. I've been putting it off. I've been wrestling with it. But I know tonight I need to be saved. Would you lift your hand up? Let me pray for you anonymously. I just pray for you and mention to the Lord that you're here and you need to be saved. Anybody like that? If you're watching or listening, you need to stop whatever you're doing. And you need to bow your head and you need to confess to God that you are a sinner. You cannot save yourself. And that you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son and the Son of God who died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins and rose again so that you could be saved. And right now, ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you. Trust him. Call on him. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. Dear Father, we thank you tonight. It seems that we are not sufficient for these things. And yet, that what we know thrills our soul. Father, we have just touched the hem of the garment. And yet it stretches our imagination beyond its abilities. Lord, how we just love you. And how we praise you and how we thank you for who and what you are. What you have done and what you are doing and what you will do. I just pray you'd help us. That others might know we believe, others might know we love, and others might know we have our hope in you by watching our lives and listening to our voices. May we be testimonies and witnesses with a clear message. I ask you to bless the invitation as only you can. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We'll sing our closing hymn, number 534. And as you take your hymn book and sing number 534. Perhaps tonight you'd just like to come and spend a couple minutes with the Lord and in prayer and talk to him. Maybe you'd like to come tonight and just say, Lord, here am I. And I know that I need your grace. The Bible says we can come to find grace to help in time of need. Why don't you come? If you have any questions about being saved, you come and see me. We'll help you with it. The altar's open. Maybe you'd like to come and just say, thank you, Lord, for putting your love in my heart so that I could love you. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that is in me. And Father, thank you that I know you. We're going to sing as on the first.